Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
Law regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war.
Libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and people, and animals, and reptilians, and creatures. You are listening to What Would Save the World, and today we're going to talk about how has professional cuddling become political. And I'm here with Elena. Do you want me to say your last name, or do you just want to be Elena?
My name's Elena.
Your name's Elena. All right. Elena, so let's get started on this a little bit. Let's just go right into it. So what the fuck is a professional cuddler? Like, I've heard of it, but I feel like people, that's something that I think a lot of people would think like SNL came up with.
So it was actually a thing that I think Portland came up with.
Of course they did.
Yeah. So so basically, as a professional cuddler, I make myself available to offer fully clothed platonic cuddling to pretty much... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good? Okay. So as a professional cuddler, I offer fully clothed platonic cuddling to people of all ages, 18 and up, and from all different backgrounds, genders, sexual preferences, orientations, and
so,
whatnot.
So like what kind of person decides they want to hire a professional cuddler? Like, well, I've never thought of that. Like, oh, I should hire someone to come cuddle me.
So one of the main reasons is that people are touch starved and affection starved or deprived. And so a lot of people, I think the first thing that comes up for people is loneliness. But another thing that comes up is a lack of, some people are in relationships and they feel lonely, or they feel a lack of affection in those relationships. Some people are terrified of receiving touch and they want to explore that. Some people just like being around somebody who knows nothing about their life or their circumstances, and they can just talk to them for an hour while they're being held or they hold somebody.
So it's almost like a therapy.
It's kind of like a therapy. I'm not there to give any advice, or I'm just there to hold space for them. Sometimes they'll just cry in my arms for an hour, and that happens too.
I mean, that's something where, like, I think that is a therapy in itself. And I actually did this workshop. I went to this Intentional Communities Conference in Virginia like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my roommate went to that.
I bet I met them. Oh, my God. We'll talk about that later. I met a couple people from New York. So I think I actually thought of you, because I know
I was going to go to that.
I have spoken to Elena before about Intentional Communities. We're both Intentional Communities people. I am like super hardcore commie, but I don't know how you are. But like, at least you live in community. I don't know. Are you a commie?
Am I a commie? I'm not quite sure if I'm a commie.
Okay, that's okay. I like people who aren't commies, too. I just don't like raging capitalists.
But you can call me comrade.
I can call you comrade? All right, then yeah, you got it. You know what's up. Okay, so I did this like workshop on, like, just out of nowhere. There's like this open space thing, and I did this workshop that was called Radical Sex Work, How to Fuck the System While Literally Fucking the System. And part of that was like about, like, you know, working in a strip club and finding out that someone's like a gentrifying developer and trying to get as much money out of them as possible and throwing the money into Intentional Communities and things like that. But the other part we talked about was like, what would sex work look like in a non-capitalist society, or a less patriarchal, less this, the blah, 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 like a more sex positive society. And we were talking about like people's sexual entitlement and stuff, but actually, like, this is like the perfect like answer to this. I feel like professional cuddler. I feel like that's like more like an intimacy or more like a therapy, because we were talking about how, like, I think that sex workers should be treated like they're like therapists or like healers of some kind. And it sounds like cuddling could be like a very healing experience. Like, have you spoken to any of your clients after? Have they told you how it affected them at all?
Absolutely. I receive dozens and dozens of feedback, texts, and phone calls from people sharing with me about how it's affected them. It's like my heart rate went down, or I feel so much more confident. I have one of my regular clients was extremely shy, and he is now on his level two of doing improv comedy right now, classes right now, and just putting, you know, so it builds confidence, it builds just self-awareness and comfortability around people. And so I'm always getting these messages from people saying, like, you really made my day, you made my week, like, like you're the, sometimes I do meditations and breathing exercises with them to help them sleep, and they say they're sleeping better. Like, there are lots of, because I came from a healing background. So that's kind of how cuddling found me, is I was working with a lot of different healing modalities, working with yoga, Reiki, meditation. And I was also studying a bit of Tantra as well. And that was something I was really interested in. So it's funny you mentioned with sex work, but I was studying Tantra and I was really interested in practicing with people. But I was struggling with the energetic boundaries, as well as obviously the legal ones too. But I was struggling with feeling like that was something I could offer so much to, especially to someone who I just met, you know, a total stranger. And I was really, I wanted to be able to offer energetically, you know, offer myself energetically to people, but I was trying to figure out the right boundary. And I had heard about cuddling years ago, and I was like, oh, that sounds like a kitschy thing people do in Portland. And that's what kind of was at the time. But I didn't,
most of it is
right.
Not a professional cuddling. I'm just making it. Most of the things are just like one of those things they do in Portland.
Yeah. Like they're, you know, pickled cuddles over there, like artisanal cuddling. But when I learned that this was really becoming a strong healing modality, and I looked into it in the research, scientific research behind it, because I was doing energy work and touch therapy with Reiki, and it just felt like something I wanted to try. And I had always had this weird talent of being able to make people feel really safe and really comfortable and vulnerable very quickly. And people will just start telling me things that I've met for like 5 minutes. I was in North Carolina 2 weeks ago, and a woman in the shop, she had lived in New York. We started talking. 10 minutes later, she starts crying, holding me, telling me her life story.
In a shop?
This was just in like a boutique in North Carolina.
So it's like projected this energy onto other people, or like this thing where like people can now, they feel this energy that they can open up to you about this kind of stuff.
They just feel really safe around me, and it felt like something I couldn't ignore. And so it felt to me, it just kept happening so much. This happened so much over the greater part of my life that I just said, you know what? Like this is what I need to be doing. But cuddling just was this whole other thing that was like, oh, I can fuse all of these different healing modalities that I've been studying, as well as my own interpersonal skills.
That's so interesting. I feel like people's jobs like become, people are just drawn to them. For example, like I was a stripper for years, and then I sort of like, I was like painting. I have a school bus that I was painting, and it was like in a neighborhood I didn't really know, but I would go to like the bar nearby at the end and have my beer at the end of painting, and like just like married dudes just want to tell me how miserable they are married. And like that is like what a stripper is, pretty much. You know what I mean? It's like someone who deals with married men who aren't happy.
It is like therapy. And that's the,
but like they would just start talking about it with me.
Yeah. It's I mean, I guess people do that with bartenders too, or hair stylists.
No, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is just like certain, like you're saying, like this woman just started opening up to you and crying all over you, cuddling, and that's like the cuddling thing. And then like a stripper thing is like some unhappily married dude. And like ever since I was like an Occupy person and lived on commies, everybody wants to tell me about their conspiracy theories. Like people, flat earth theorists, like love me. like it's always like,
would you fuck a flat earther?
Would I fuck a flat earther?
Is that inappropriate to ask?
No, you can say whatever the fuck you want on here. No, that's a great question. Would I fuck a flat earther? Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not really concerned about people's gender. I'm not really concerned. I'm like, I would say actually at this point, like, I don't know if I want to really date men anymore. But yeah, like,
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, but like, I mean, and most flat earthers I've met have been like cis men or like men looking to be oppressed. I don't know, but the whole thing, the whole flat earth theory thing, just to take a side thing, like I met this guy who wanted to talk to me about it, and he kept like, he was like friends with somebody that I know, and like he kept like calling me to talk about it, and I actually like intended to call him back, but I never did because I was like so busy. I was running around like crazy, and I feel like it'd be weird to call him now. But like it gets connected to like a religious thing. What they think is like that we're under this dome of a flat earth, and like that like it's to shield us from God's power. It's like, it's some like Handmaid's Tale shit kind of. Like, you ever watched that show?
I have not.
I've been obsessed with that show as a whole. But that actually is super linked to what we're talking about. That show's about like sexual servitude and like intense like sexual repression. Unless you're having a baby, unless you're gonna have a baby, like you're not really supposed to have sex. It's like really fucking like. But I guess what I'm saying, it relates a little bit to like what's going on with the alt-right right now, where I feel like there's this, I don't know, are you like super well read on the alt-right? Like what are you?
I've been studying them. I've been checking out, I know it's not technically, is Daily Stormer alt-right? Would you call that alt-right?
It's like Nazis. It's all alt-right. Okay. It's all alt-right.
Yeah. I have to say it's been interesting, but for me, it's been very useful because I think what I realized is I, you know, grew up in a very, you know, in a bubble, and then I moved to New York, which was also a bubble. And so I've never really experienced a lot of discrimination being Jewish or queer. That's not something that I ever experienced. But now seeing it kind of, blow up in the world and in the news, like really seeing that happen. And even here in New York, swastikas painted and like in the park and stuff.
Yeah, but,
like
that's
a real thing. And so I've started to really delve into it. And I, you know, read some comments that people have made on some of the Cuddlist videos. And there are some people out there that are making very strange comments and the stuff saying like, oh, the snowflakes need to pay for hugs, blah blah blah,
know,
you know, that
so,
kind of stuff. I'm like, they need the hugs, the alt-right needs the hugs,
the alt-right
all the hugs. I will cuddle.
No, they also need a punch, but you know. I would, if they're willing to like give up their white supremacy, they can have a hug, let's put it that way. Right. Like we'll give you a reward if you stop being an asshole, if you stop being a fucking bigot. But like, maybe, I don't know, but I was going to say there's like so many different levels to this alt-right thing. I've been studying this for like a little bit, and like this whole idea that like women are not allowed to be women anymore, and they're not submissive anymore, and they have to act like men, and everybody's all confused about their gender role. There's this whole thing in there. And I think that, I don't know, I feel like that idea plays into like that still, even though they think that we're like so far away from that, we're not. Do you know what I'm saying? Like there's still this amount of like sexual repression.
Absolutely.
And like, and touch is only sexual. I wrote this down at home before we started this episode. I wrote, I can find what I wrote. We clearly live in a very non-touchy world. I love to cuddle, but I have a very hard time being physically intimate with people I'm not dating because I always fear that someone is insinuating that they want to fuck me by touching me. And I feel like, do you think cuddling is sexual?
So, all right, this is a great question. So cuddling is actually, it's not sexual. The reason why I say this, so in our early formative years growing up, being children, ideally, and this is not everyone's experience, but we are is at least expected that maybe a mother would cuddle her children, or I used to jump into my parents' bed and cuddle with my parents when I was very, very little, like, 3 or 4 years old, and experiencing this non-sexual touch, this very affectionate, loving touch. And that is really our first experience with that. And and you can relate to this too, I would assume, but as a theater person, when I was 10 years old and I started being in musicals and in theater, I was in all of a sudden this very touchy, feely, very open environment. And we cuddled and sit on each other's laps, but most of it was non-sexual for the most part. And, you would see each other take their clothes off in the changing rooms while they're changing into costumes. And there was this desexualization of things that might be considered sexual. And then as we get older, we become accustomed to the fact that cuddling is exclusively for usually post-sex.
Foreplay.
Foreplay or post-play. So post-coitus. So most people are stuck in this idea that cuddling is only reserved for if you're romantic and sexual with a person. And so...
But even though you had this experience in theater, do you feel like non-sexual touching just disappears as people get older? And that's part of why we need professional cuddlers.
I do. I absolutely do think it disappears, even though I happen to be in these very cuddly environments, especially in the community I live in, which I'm very fortunate to be able to, if I need a hug or a cuddle, I can reach out. And when my roommate's, you know, is right there and I have that opportunity. Most people don't, but I feel like that is not something anybody would ever think about doing. And although studies have been shown, just like studies have been shown, petting an animal, having a pet lowers your heart rate, it makes you more relaxed and less stressed out, and it boosts your confidence. And you're also experiencing love, so the feeling of love or oxytocin that you're sharing with this animal. There's a lot of care and affection in between that. That is also non-sexual. So there actually is cuddling that people do that people may not realize that they're doing, you know, with an animal, but it's very different with a human being. And it can also be non-sexual and it can be extremely healing, especially when it is non-sexual. But
so... Even though the snowflakes need to pay for their hugs, it's scientifically healthy.
Yes.
Also, that's something, a note I want to make is how, like, snowflake is, like, something that comes from Fight Club, yeah. Which I pretty much decided is about the alt-right. And one of my favorite things to do is post on Facebook about how Fight Club is about the alt-right. And
I've noticed.
Dudes freak the fuck out. Okay, so I am going to do my first tweet of the day on What Would Save the World. So you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with Elena, the professional cuddler. And I'm going to tweet a question to my listeners. What do you think? And you can follow me on Twitter at 2, like the symbol 2, KEDALOW. How do we do this? So do the alt-right gangs in Fight Club just need a hug? Let's see, we're going to get a lot of drama from this question. This one's not even, like, I got to post a more serious one after this because I just love the intensity of which people defend Fight Club. I love how, like, people can be laissez-faire about just about anything, but when you talk smack about Fight Club, they, like, lose their fucking...
Is that one of the rules that I missed? You're not supposed to talk shit about Fight Club?
We're not supposed to talk about Fight Club in general, but I'm not supposed to talk shit about... Okay, but also, let's say... do you think cuddling is a human need? That's a good question. That's one that's, like, real, where I'm not doing it just to sit and cite something. Oh my God, can I get a felony charge for inciting a Facebook riot? Anyway, So how has this become political? It helps in this environment where, like, I feel like there's this physical coldness. We're talking about that. You know, how non-sexual touching becomes, like, disappears as most people get older. And it seems like the right, or not the right, I have to use this left-right thing, but a lot of these Trump people and whatever want us to even be more like that.
I think isolation is really what breeds a lot of this hate. So there's isolation, there's a lack of connection, there's less lack of connection between people that are of people who are diverse. And so when people have been out and voting or fighting for whatever their personal causes are, it's very, this is, you know, and this is an issue with feminism versus, like, intersectional feminism, is this lack of, it's like, I'm focusing on my thing and completely forgetting these other things as well. And it doesn't mean that your needs are not important or less important than their needs, but it's just a general awareness. And a lot of people, a lot of it is just through connection and listening to other people's experiences. And so I'm in Brooklyn. I have a lot of Orthodox clients. I have a lot of Hasidic and Orthodox Jewish clients who have never met a queer person before. And I've been their intro to, you know, queerness for them and explaining it to them. And they ask lots of questions and they don't know how it works. And they they're coming to me because they received barely any touch when they were younger. Because in that culture specifically, they're very isolated. They're extremely isolated from all of these other groups. And they're also isolated from sex, the genders. So they don't receive, I mean, the boys are not going to cuddle together. Like, and that's a whole nother conversation to have. But, you know, the men are not, they're not going to be cuddling with each other. So that's why you have a lot of these Orthodox Hasidic men who are, you know, hiring sex workers.
Yes, I've given a lap dance to many a Orthodox man.
I'm not surprised. So
one of them, this was the craziest thing. He came in, I went right up to him because I know that they're easy clients. And I was like, hi, da-da-da, talk to him. And we go in the back and I start to give him a lap dance. And he goes, I can't. And he hands me $40, which is enough for two lap dances, and leaves. And I was like, whoa, that's really intense. Like, the poor guy, like, he probably would have done very well with just a cuddler.
For some people, I mean, for me, it's definitely an intro to touch. So I think some of these people really do want sex workers and they have asked for more. I have never performed anything outside of, you know, the code of conduct within the context of a cuddle session. I've definitely been asked for other things and I never ever shame them for having a desire, but I do. I wish I could just give them a referral to somebody so that I could send them to the right place because they want something. And I have to say several times, and it's funny, a lot of the Orthodox clients, they, you know, they're like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I would love if you, you know, this thing or that thing. And I say very clearly, you know, I really respect that desire. And I know there are lots of women out there who do provide those services. That is not a service that I provide.
Do they ever like get really horny and pushy with you?
Usually people ask, which I think is really great. I only had to end a session once and it was 10 minutes before the end of the session. And it was it turned into a bit of a humping while I was Little Spoon. And I was like, this isn't happening. I said once, I was like, please stop. He kept going. And I was like, the session's over. So a lot of these clients will speak to these desires because they have these desires. But some of them, they only see me once. And I think they're ready for a sex worker at that point. I think a lot of them have never touched a woman before. That wasn't, you know, their mother or their sister or whatever.
We're talking about Orthodox?
Not just. I've also had a Sikh Indian. There are other cultures and backgrounds that don't allow touching, or some people just are very socially awkward, or they deal with a lot of social anxiety.
Maybe they have like on the spectrum or something.
I have a lot of clients on the spectrum, as is very common, and that is, you know, for them, they're usually, people ask me, they're like, do you feel safe? And I said, most of the time they are way more afraid of me than I am of them.
Do you go to them or they come to you, or how do you do that?
They come to me mostly. I do outcalls. I prefer to do outcalls once I've seen a client at least once in my space.
Do you like have an office or something?
I use my space in Brooklyn. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. My space, like, yours.
MySpace. Yeah, not like MySpace.com. I use my home, yes.
No, because there's like a fucking like real estate agency.
Oh, yeah, right now, I saw
called
that.
MySpace. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, are you kidding me? Like, why would you name your agency? Oh my God, fucking real estate.
It's like what you were saying, he got scared, you know, and so for some people, there are people, I haven't had them, but there are some people who have ran out of a session because they couldn't handle it because it was too much for them. But I feel like I said, some of these people are maybe looking for sex work, but this is kind of their first step. And I think it's a step in a good direction because there's a lot less pressure. And I think the idea of the sexual element can be very intimidating for them. And so having a safe space just to explore some touch with someone else is helpful and supportive.
Okay. Helpful and supportive touch. We really, really need helpful and supportive touch. But do you think it's always like helpful and supportive to cuddle? Do you think sometimes like helpful and supportive touch comes from in the form of a punch? I'm sorry. I'm so terrible.
That's a good question. I guess it depends who you're dealing with. I don't condone violence, but
but is it ever self-defense, or is it ever like teaching them a lesson? I don't know. Don't worry. I have been having this ongoing debate on my show for a while about the punch a Nazi thing. I go back and forth. Well, I'm always like, if someone's trying to punch you, you should punch them in the fucking face. Or if someone is coming at you, or like someone's like threatening you, it's okay to defend yourself.
For self-defense, yes.
But like, then I'm a little bit like, is somebody joining the Nazi party, the neo-Nazis, or the KKK in general, is that a threat in itself? And I kind of feel like, yes, it is. So then it's okay.
I do feel like that is a threat. That is definitely a threat. I'm a bit tied on whether physical. I don't know. I kind of really want to say yes, but I feel a little hesitant to fully agree with that.
Okay, I guess you know what it is. Is it's just like, this is the example I give people a lot.
Like, I want to sit down with them and just be like, who hurt you?
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk to them too, but not when they're like at a Nazi rally.
Well, no.
but like something that I think about is like the comparison I keep giving people. And I gave this on my show last week about something slightly different. But I said like, so if like a girl is being like abused over and over by her boyfriend and she breaks his window and punches him in the face, everybody be like, you go, girl. But like if a group of people are like harassed for generations and generations by one group and then they punch them in the face, everybody's like, no. No violence. It's like ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like it's only okay for like victims of abuse to like fight back if they're like, if it's on a micro level. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like kind of, you see what I'm talking about?
I see what you're talking about.
It's like when Black Lives Matter, like,
well, it's personal. It's a personal, it's very, yeah, right, on a micro level. And it's one on one.
And if like a Black Lives Matter activist bashes a window, everybody's like, oh, your people have been oppressed for the past like 2 centuries and more, and you were like enslaved and shit, and like, and now there's private prisons and da 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 da. But you broke a window? But you broke a window? It's like, it's like absurd. Anyway, let's take a little bit of a break. I want to play the Alice Ripley version of Touch It, Touch It, Touch Me from Rocky Horror, just because I was like, what is relevant to this show? What song could I play? That one. And when we get back, I will play.
I feel like Everybody Hurts might be a little bit more.
Everybody Hurts? What is that? Who is that even by?
R.E.M.
R.E.M. Okay, we'll play that too. We got to play a song in the outro. All right, but I really just want to play the Alice Ripley version because she's got this crazy voice. Anyway, you've been listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here with Elena, the professional cuddler. This episode has been called what I even fucking call this episode? Oh my God, stop calling me. Everybody wants to talk to me right now. Gosh, I'm on the radio. What the fuck? How has professional cuddling become political? All right, touch me. The Alice Ripley version.
Oh, Brad, how could you?
Emotion is an irrational and powerful master, and there seemed little doubt that Janet was indeed its slave.
Tell us about it, Janet.
I was feeling done in, couldn't win. I'd only ever kissed before.
You mean she only...
Yes! I thought there's no use getting into heavy bedding. It only leads to trouble and deceit wedding. Now all I wanna know is how to go. I've tasted blood and I want more.
More, more, more.
I'll put up no resistance. I'm going to stay the distance. Got an itch to scratch. I need assistance. Touch it, touch it, touch it, touch me. I wanna be dirty. Throw me, chill me, but fill me. Creature of direction of the main attraction. You need a friendly hand, and I need action. Touch it, touch it, touch it, touch me. I wanna be dirty. Throw your tummy for Billy, creature of the night. Touch it, touch it, touch it, touch me. I wanna be dirty. Throw your tummy for Billy, creature of the night. Touch it, touch it, touch it, touch me. I wanna be dirty. Throw your tummy for Billy, creature of the night. I need time of the day. I need time of the day. Creature of the night.
And you are listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn, and that was Toucha Toucha Touch Me from the Rocky Horror Broadway version. And I'm sure a lot of people are really mad at me right now that I didn't play the Susan Sarandon version, but that one's played all the time, and like, you guys need to get the fuck over it.
Alice Ripley's pretty good.
Yeah, Alice Ripley has like one of the weirdest voices in the world. She's like, and if anything grows while you pose, I'll light you up and drop you down.
Down, down, down.
Oh my God, I love having musical people on the show.
Well, Alice Ripley gets big ups because she was in the original Tommy.
Yes, yes, yes. She was on the original Tommy. That was her in the Broadway version.
She was one of the nurses.
Oh my God. It's the boy, Mrs. Walker. It's the boy. But okay, so I asked the internet world, do you think cuddling is a human need? And one of my friends says, yes, affection is a need. Someone says, yes, even as infants show that need. It is instinctual, primal need expressed before language is developed, and society strips away parts of our humanity and parts of our inherent primal selves by its rejection of emotional support and expression. Somebody says, yes, skin-to-skin contact is super necessary, especially for babies. And then somebody else says, I desire it all the time. And somebody else is typing, but too bad, you were too fucking late. And on the Fight Club one, that's my favorite one that I wrote, what, do the alt-right gangs in Fight Club just need a hug? Somebody just said, ew. All right, so do you think Donald Trump just needs a hug? Or do you think Donald Trump just gets too many hugs?
That's a great question, because I feel like he pays for hugs, but I don't think they're really doing much for him.
You think that like maybe some people don't need hugs?
Do I think some people don't need hugs?
Do you think some people like would prefer not or better off without hugs? Like I'm saying, like if Donald Trump has paid for so many fucking hugs and he's still this awful, like are some people better off with less hugs? Do some people get too
many
hugs?
Is it wrong for me to say that I think he's broken?
There's nothing wrong. I want to hear it. I mean, we got like fucking 25 minutes left. You say whatever the fuck you want.
I think so. I have a very personal connection with this, because one of the things that led me into this work is, so I had dated several people who had struggled with mental illness and various different kinds of situations. Sometimes people just on the spectrum, sometimes bipolar or borderline. And so the thing is, I think that there is definitely a lot of benefit for all different kinds of people from this work. I don't think it can cure a person if they are ill beyond, you know, I don't think hugs will fix Donald Trump. That is what
hugs won't fix Donald Trump. Oh my God, I want.
I'm not sure what would.
Hashtag.
Can we give him a new brain? Can we take out the piece of his brain that makes him terrible?
Can we give Donald Trump, my fuck Trump, a new brain? Check that out on Twitter and the hashtag What Would Save the World. You tell me what you think of that.
Or a new heart.
Yeah, or a new heart. Do we need to take, or a new heart? Does Donald Trump, do we need to take Donald Trump to Oz? Do we need to take DJT to Oz?
DJT, you make him sound like he's in a boy band.
He is in a boy band. He's got fucking Putin's in there. Is his fucking, I don't know, who the fuck, Justin Timberlake, and who was the other one in NSYNC that everybody liked?
Was it JC? Because I liked Lance because I just like gay men.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe Lance is Putin. Like, No, Lance is Pence, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got like Putin, and they're called... my father was a stand-up comedian when I was growing up, and one of his jokes was that he's going to start an old dudes band called Extinct. And I think that that's like what Donald Trump's band needs to be called, because like if people like him stay the president or stay in power, I'm not my president kind of girl. I'm a no more presidents kind of girl, because I think this top down shit is fucking ridiculous, and I think that he has way too much power. Like, whatever. Anyway. That's the funniest thing about it. It's like presidents don't have that much power, but they still have too much power. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he gets to pick his entire fucking cabinet, and all those fucking people are in Extinct, the band, the musical, because they're going to make us all go extinct. I mean, Hurricane Irma, and like Irma can be like the fucking, they're like the American Idol winner of like the same time. Like, there's some chick named Irma who's like, doesn't believe in climate change. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Anyway, some chick named Irma. Oh my God, fucking! Can we? Let's just like have a minute to just discuss like how awful that is. Like for real. Like as like I just that's so fucking gross. Do you think? Okay, so do you have more to say about all this stuff? I feel like I keep cutting you off.
Oh, it's okay. You're on a roll. I will pipe up if there's something.
No, you don't have to pipe up. You can pipe down or pipe up, or pipe around and back and forth. I don't even know what the fuck. But like. So, like, do you think that, like, people just, like, in general, like, do you think that it's, like, do you think more people would benefit from, like, cuddles? Like, more of, like, a professional cuddler situation? Like, do you think that a lot of people are, like, ashamed of their need for touch? Or, like, I was reading this article you sent me. For my listeners and everybody, or our listeners, there is a great article on Rolling Stone called Why Professional Cuddling is Booming Under Trump, which is sort of... And somebody was saying that they were confusing their touch desire for like a sexual need.
Yes.
Okay. So like, do you think, we talked a little bit about how some of your clients feel like they need, they're using you almost like as like a step to hiring a sex worker.
Some, but most are not.
But I'm saying for some of them, is it like a backwards thing? That's what I'm saying. In a sense, where
some of them, it is a backwards thing where they have seen sex workers and they realized through that they actually were seeking intimacy, but it wasn't in a sexual form, and they were looking for affection and they wanted to be able to hold someone or to be held and to just feel safe and to have that safe space for them to explore that affection and intimacy and vulnerability and have someone to talk to or watch a movie with. And so that it could be a step back for some people, or it could just be, it's just a step somewhere, but they realize what they were really, really desiring was actually that feeling. So it's interesting. I was talking about this earlier with one of my roommate's friends visiting from Portland, and we were talking about oxytocin and the way that oxytocin is produced in women is usually through intercourse. And so oxytocin is the bonding chemical that's produced that makes us attached to a person. And usually it's for biological reasons of that creating that bond. And also women experience, there's an oxytocin bond between a mother and her child. And so these are all biological things.
Isn't that emphasized from breastfeeding?
Yes, yes. That is part of it too. That's emphasized through breastfeeding for women and their children. And so men, they tend to produce not so much from sex, but they produce oxytocin through hand-holding, eye-gazing, and cuddling. And so for them, it's a very emotional thing, whereas women, it's very physical. And so the physical then produces a lot of the emotional connection. But for men, it's a bit more, I don't want to say subtle, it's not so much subtle, but it's just these intimate acts that are not sexual, but they're very vulnerable.
That's like the most interesting thing I've ever heard, is I feel like people very much think the opposite in terms of like society. Like, it seems like a lot of men can have detached sex, but it, like, that's so interesting, because like I see these guys at the strip clubs who like kind of develop like a girlfriend, like in the club, or they just want to like hang out with them and buy them drinks and talk to them and all those things. And that's, and I'm always just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what are you on right now? Like, you're in like a strip club. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, see, that's the thing. Like, I feel like a professional cuddler, like I could see you empathizing with your clients a lot more than I would. Like, as a stripper, I'm kind of like, why the fuck are you like, I have like very little respect for the kinds of men who go into strip clubs. Cause it's kind of just like, oh, so you just like want to be here and like look at my boobs and try to get as much boob for like as little money as possible. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear that. And I think sometimes I will admit there are sometimes I do get frustrated. It's more with clients that try to push. See, so it's when they try to push, it makes me kind of feel like, oh, they were just trying to get a cheap, you know, sex worker. And they're trying to see what they can get out of me. And that makes me feel disrespected. And that makes me disrespect them. When I feel respected by my clients, which is, I would say 95% of the time or more, I feel really, I do empathize with my clients. And usually they're coming from a very vulnerable emotional place, which brings them there. They're dealing with a difficult marriage or divorce, or they are just lacking something in their life, or they're really depressed, or there's something, or they really want to work on feeling comfortable being around a woman. And like, sometimes I'm the step that allows them to feel comfortable dating. I've had some clients who then, you know, tried online dating after working with me because they finally feel like they could actually go on a date with a woman and feel comfortable, because that wasn't something they were used to. So there's all these different reasons why people come, but I definitely do empathize with them because it's really hard. It's really hard. And I think the majority of my clients are men. I do have some female clients, and I do have some transgender clients as well, but the majority of my clients are men. And it's
But I'm saying my transgender clients, I mean, wouldn't they also be men or women?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Sorry. I just like, do you mean like gender queer or like?
Yes, gender queer.
Okay. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Non-binary.
Yeah, okay. Keep going. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Go on.
Sorry. And, but the majority are cis men, cis hetero men. It's really, but it actually has allowed me to have more faith in cis men or in just men in general, because I see a very vulnerable, sweet side to them, and this, and I really see what society has created to then bring them to me, in a sense, to bring them to this service, that they felt like they had to be quiet about it or hide the fact that they actually want this, and they thought they could be isolated and alone and that's okay, but they realized they really were not functioning well being alone, and they weren't looking for a girlfriend. A lot of them are not looking for girlfriends or romantic partners, but they are seeking connection. And I think we're taught like, oh, you should live alone. You're really successful if you can have your own place and live alone. And a lot of us are taught to just be self-sufficient and not to need other people. But touch is one of those things. It's, you need another person there.
So do you think we need to start like more of like a cuddle culture?
There is, I mean,
movement for cuddle culture.
There is a cuddle culture. So I was going to also mention, so there are things called cuddle parties. And where you have about 20, usually 25 to 30 people in a room. The first part is a 45-minute talk on consent and work, doing some exercises to get comfortable and learning how to ask for touch and also reject touch and feel comfortable exploring that for yourself. And then there's about 2 hours of just exploring cuddling within a group setting. And so that can be extremely intimidating for a lot of people who are not used to that. Seems a little too much for people to really handle, and they also may be embarrassed. They usually, most of the time, they're just kind of nervous and embarrassed, or they need discretion, whatever it is. You know, that's what would bring them to a professional cuddler as opposed to a cuddle party. But there are these spaces. I have had some clients who I feel are more ready to start to explore a community, and it invites you into this community of people who love exploring non-sexual touch, and that this is something they thrive on. It makes them feel good. They feel really energized from it and nourished, and you also make new friends and awesome connections. Maybe you meet someone you're attracted to there, and it's like really great. It's so much better than almost at a bar, because you have this very very sweet open space for people, but it's not, you know, it's all sober, completely dry. Nobody's drinking alcohol. Nobody's on drugs. But it's, you know, it's quiet. And so you can hear people talk and you can actually have a genuine connection with another person.
How does someone attend one of these cuddle parties?
So if you go to cuddleparty.com, there is a list of all the local cuddle parties in your area. They are all over the country. I believe they may be in other parts of the world as well, but they're all over. And they're a very interesting experience. I personally am more of a one-on-one kind of person. I don't really like group activities or group-centered things.
Yeah,
so I actually have thought about hiring a professional cuddler just so that I could have an official experience receiving a session for myself and have someone holding space for me for that hour or that time period. But the cuddle parties, for some people, they're absolutely great. And it's a great way to meet people who are also interested in that and want to explore that. And that's really, I feel like they're pioneers in this cuddle culture, which is kind of really putting it out there more of like, here's a space where you can just explore this thing and see if what you can get out of it. And so it's available to people if they want that.
Yeah, you should check it out. Cuddleparty.com. I just looked at the website. It looks pretty interesting. It's Cuddle Party is a movement. Cuddle Party is a workshop. Cuddle Party is a social event. When is the next one? Become a Cuddle Party facilitator. Cuddlist.com. You got to check it out. Or Cuddlist. I don't know. Whatever the fuck.
Cuddlist is the company I work
Cuddlist
for.
Cuddlist the company you work for. Well, I want to get that job.
We'll talk.
But I want to say we got more responses to our questions.
Oh, great.
So, do you think that cuddling is a human need? And then somebody said so much. And then they said, I used to cuddle way more until adulthood when nobody touches anyone. So like we were talking about, the older you get, the less people touch. And I also got from my number one fan, Jim Vigati. He listens to all my episodes and tweets at me the whole time. He said do the alt-right gangs in Fight Club just need a hug? And he says, they need their asses kicked by a hairdresser or a florist. Sorry for falling back on stereotypes. I don't really understand that. Are they just saying that like people who have like feminine jobs need to kick their ass? I mean, didn't Tyler Durden like make soap or something?
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever. And then he said, cuddling is ideal. Just a simple act of touch can be healing. And he says, yes, why not? If he would attend a cuddle party. He would attend a cuddle party. I think people want to attend a cuddle party. So we have just a few minutes left. We have like about 10 minutes left here. And what was that song you were saying we should play? What should we play out with?
It was just joking.
Oh, well, we're going to play out with another Rocky Horror song just to stick with the theme. What do you think we should play? I was thinking we could play Once in a While just because I think that song is so funny.
Sure.
You know? So we're going to
play. Oh, yeah. I met Jared Emek. He's a very sweet guy.
Oh, I think this is sang by somebody. Oh, it is him.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right, but we're gonna play him in the next couple minutes. But this is a Rocky Horror episode, you know. You've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here with Elena, the professional cutter. This is professional cutter. This is called How Has Professional Cuddling Become Political? If you like this show, this is What Would Save the World. I'm on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. I'm actually going to be coming up next. I'm hosting Brooklyn Bandstand from 4 to 5. We're going to play some local New York City-based music. And if you ever want to be on this show, I'm always looking for people to be on this show. This was actually a completely last-minute episode with Elena right now. I like posted about this like today or something and they were just like, yeah, I'll come on. And I was like, that sounds like a really good episode. So it worked out. But you can email me at toque@radiofreebrooklyn.com. That's spelled T-O-O-K. And Jim Vigati keeps fucking messaging me. He says, great show, thanks. Thank you, Jim Vigati. And he says, referencing so-called feminine jobs. That is what he was referencing about the florist and hairdresser. I'm sorry, but like, yo, I'm pissed off at you, Jim Vigati. No, I'm not mad at you. I'm sorry. I had to say that. Elena, do you have anything you want to say before we close off in the next couple of minutes? Is there any like specific thing that we didn't touch on that you want to touch on, or anything else in your life you want to advertise or anything?
Wow. Well, what I'd like to touch on. So something that I noticed, I was traveling a bit over for the eclipse. I was in the South bopping around for a bit and I was chatting with people there about the work that I do. And I realized that this work is not, I looked online to see if anyone was servicing some of these areas, and they do not have cuddlists in their area. And I was really inspired to go on a cuddling tour. And so I'm putting that out there as an intention to try to go to some of these places that are in some areas that are that could really benefit from this work.
Where do you think, what areas?
I'm thinking some of the Bible Belt areas.
Is that not where you went?
It was sort of, yeah. We were in Greenville, South Carolina, and Wilmington, North Carolina. A little, I think, that technically it would be like, what, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri.
And did you cuddle people down there?
I did not have a chance to cuddle people. Well, I did cuddle that woman who was crying in my arms at the boutique. So I guess I did. I guess I did a little bit. And I cuddled some animals while I was there. But I did not have a chance to officially cuddle humans within a session context. But it's something that I was really inspired to do because I realized I'm in a bubble, and I feel like it could be really beneficial to take this work to other places that don't have that access.
Yeah. And I also feel like I keep thinking about like how to revamp like religion, because I think that people do need like community. And I think that is what has been valuable about religion.
Absolutely.
And we need to have like hugging temples.
Hugging temples.
Yeah. And isn't there, what's her name? I forget what her name is. She's like the hugging saint or something.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Her name's like something, the hugging saint. And
I need to look this up.
Yeah, she's not like a saint. She's like, I think she's like Buddhist. Here, let me hug, but they call her like the hugging saint. What's her name? Her name is Amma, the hugging saint.
Mm.
And she's like a Hindu spiritual leader, and she's revered as a saint by her followers. And apparently, like, you just see, like, basically at her, like, her events, you get in, and her real name is like Mata Amrit Ande Mai or something, but she has so many freaking names, it looks like. But basically what it is, people just get in line and they hug her, and apparently her energy is like so intense that people like cry, and people like,
I think there were some cuddlists that went to see her.
I bet they did. Yeah, I bet. I mean, she's pretty known for her cuddling. I went to her, I was just out of like this really shitty relationship in high school, and my friend brought me to some event with her in the city somewhere, and we were like gonna wait in line to hug her, but we didn't. We ended up.
Did you still feel her from far away?
No, I was just like miserable, and I like missed my stupid boyfriend at the time, who was an idiot, and he's still an idiot, and I was smarter, and it was the best thing I ever did. Somebody else wants to tell me about something. Somebody told me they had no idea that was a thing, the cuddling thing.
I think, the professional cuddling?
Yeah, I mean, it really does sound like a Portland thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is there a lot of it in New York? Is it like a Burning Man kind of thing?
I'm very hesitant to call it a Burning Man kind of a thing.
Are there a lot of burners in the community?
I would say not so much. Yay. Surprisingly so. And as somebody who has been in that community and have taken some time away from it.
I'm proud of you.
Speaking of religions. It was actually really, really good for me to kind of get out of that whole scene for a bit and just sober up and be a human. And there is some crossover, but I haven't run into people. They're very open-minded, and they're very, you know, into a lot of, you know, kind of some new age healing. Some of them are, you know, but a lot of them are, you know, therapists, like licensed therapists, or they're massage therapists, or they work in hospices, or they're, you know, these are working professionals in healthcare and wellness. And
really,
so it's a really hardcore group that is very dedicated, with a lot of very useful healing modalities to support this cuddling work. So yeah, it is a thing. And I think that's really why I wanted to do it when I saw it wasn't just this kitschy thing in Portland, or like it sounded like a thing you could do in Japan too. You know, you go to like a cuddle cafe or something and you just hire a woman to like cuddle you for 20 minutes or whatever it is you're looking for. But
have tea with you and cuddle with you.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm so glad that it's not like a super burner thing. I feel like almost everything cool I hear about these days, people are just like, oh, that's like a Burning Man thing. I show up and everybody's like, Burning Man. And I'm like, really?
There's more, like, I guess this is something that I needed to emphasize to people. There is more to life than Burning Man. I learned that. I went to Burning Man and you know what? It was just okay. It was just okay.
I have zero interest in attending Burning Man.
I had way more fun in Wilmington, North Carolina. Uh-huh. It's, by the way, I went there because that's where they shot Dawson's Creek and I'm obsessed with Dawson's Creek. But I was telling my roommate, I was like, I have to say that going to Wilmington, North Carolina for me was better than Burning Man.
Yeah, I mean, I go to that conference every year because it's the same week as Burning Man. And I know it's one of the alternative, like, activist-y things where there's not going to be a bunch of burners there telling me that Burning Man's going to save the world. Like, nothing bothers me more than that. I'm like, you cannot tell me. Sorry. No, I was like, that.
I'm with you on that.
That going out into the desert and, like, getting high with a bunch of, like, Silicon Valley people is going to, like, it would change the world. Like, that's not, like... I'm like, I'm down if people like want to do it, but
that's so great. Paris Hilton was on your art car, but
yeah, exactly. But like, don't fucking tell me it's gonna make things better in the world. Like, I mean, maybe with like the community aspect, but
what I took away from, I don't want to shit completely on what I've learned. There are positive aspects of the Burning Man community. I did find healing arts through the Burning Man community. That was something that I did get from it, and there were a lot of connections that I made and people I met through that community that supported me in kind of making the shift. And I also co-founded a wellness studio as mm-hmm. around the time that it was right before I left for Burning Man. And so I got a lot out of the experience of being in that community. But what I became frustrated with is that I really wanted to do something, and I felt like it was a bit of a distraction for me to be at all these parties and all this stuff and, you know, volunteering and all these, just putting together these parties. I was really sick of the parties. I was also DJing at the time. And I wanted to actually focus on working with people and doing healing work. And so I felt like taking a step away from that community allowed me to then really launch my career and really focus on what I really want to be doing. So I'm very grateful for that community and what it taught me, but I had to get out of the parties to actually do something.
Become
and
a pro cuddler.
So yeah.
Well, I think it's so cool that you're a pro cuddler, and I really appreciate you being here, and I really appreciate you talking to me about, like, in the age of Trump, how like this is kind of helping people. Did we even touch on that much?
In the age of Trump? I think we did. We talked a lot about the alt-right.
And yeah, a little bit. And how maybe they need a hug instead of a punch. And like, and we didn't exactly say that. I just think that's funny. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. I just think it's really funny to be like, put them on like a balance beam. And be like, hug or punch. I mean, we talked about it a little bit. I think we talked a little bit, yeah, about like how it's kind of like a pressure to be like even more like purist, like about the whole like women are submissive and men are dominant thing. We did touch a little bit on that.
Yeah, I think so. You were mentioning about, you know, you doing, having done, you know, stripping or, you know, and everything, and feeling and these men coming to you. And it's very interesting because I've noticed
we actually have like 1 second.
We have 1 second.
We have like a second, and I want to say
women